Our scripture for today is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9 and verse 2. Isaiah 9 and verse 2. The scripture reads, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful today for the privilege that we have of being in your house again. We're here for no other purpose except to worship and to serve you. And we just pray, God, that you would be with us in a very special way. We are your people. We're here, Lord, because we love you and because we know that you love us. And we just pray, God, that for the next few minutes that our thoughts would be upon you, not upon the cares of the world, not upon our problems, but upon you and your love for us and how that we can best serve you and represent you to a lost and dying world. We just thank you again for all of your blessings, most of all for Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, for we ask in his name and for his sake. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but I really enjoy Christmas. To me, it's a wonderful and exciting time of the year. And I have felt this way throughout my life. I felt that way, of course, when I was a little boy. It was very exciting to get up on Christmas morning and see what was there on the tree, under the tree for me. Now, I didn't always, you know, my mother always told me you had to be good in order to get something, but I was not always the best boy, I'm sure, but there was always something there under the tree for me, and which I always appreciated. A few things stand out in my mind. I got a little red wagon one year, and that was a popular thing for boys in those days. Another time, I got a cowboy outfit. Now, not a Dallas cowboy outfit, but probably Roy Rogers or something like that. Remember, it had a hat, it had two guns, it had cowboy boots, and I just felt very special indeed. Now, I think that was the only pair of cowboy boots I've ever owned in my entire life, but I enjoyed those, but I guess that I got my taste for them as a little boy, something like that. Later on, as I grew up in my teenage years, or as I became an older boy, I got items of clothing, and normally I would get a big item and several little items, of which always stood out in my mind very much. But Christmas has been special to me. I've told you before that after I got out of high school, not too long after I got out of high school, I went into the military for 4 years. And of that 4 years, only one was spent at home with my family and those that I loved. The others, I was off serving Uncle Sam. One stands out in my mind, though, was this. I had to work on Christmas Eve because I worked in a job that required 24/7. But anyway, I had worked Christmas Eve from 12 o'clock until 8 o'clock. And we were very low-staffed. Everybody had gone home that could and so forth. But I guess I was chosen to stay there, and others were as well. But I left at 8 o'clock. I left work at 8 o'clock on Christmas morning. And I was walking from the radar control center to the chow hall and then to the barracks. And it was Christmas Day, and I was thinking about Christmas, but it was rainy, it was dreary, it was cold. And I was headed to eat, and then I was to sleep that day. And I thought, what a terrible Christmas. But, you know, I should not have felt that way at all, because even though I wasn't surrounded by family, I was surrounded by people who generally respected me to a certain degree. And I should have thought of my blessings. I should have counted them, because even though I was in the military, I was stateside. I was not overseas. I was not being shot at like some of the guys that I was trained with. We went in originally. Some of them went immediately to Vietnam, and I even had a few friends who were killed in the service in Vietnam. But I should have been thankful, but as I look back on that, I had more to appreciate than I really thought about at that time. Christmas was always special. after we got married, because after we had children, I enjoyed Christmas through my sons. And now my grandchildren, I enjoy Christmas especially with them. One of the things that we always look forward to every year is going and seeing Claire and Kayla open their Christmas gifts, and we'll be there this year, I'll guarantee you indeed. But Christmas is very special, and I know that you enjoy Christmas as well. The lights, the music, the decorations, it all means something to me. But in all the activities surrounding Christmas, we must never forget the main thing, the main idea, and that is God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation, that we might be saved, that we might have eternal life, that we might have a quality of life. Now, our first point is this. Christmas is unique. Christmas is unique because, first of all, it is not only a secular holiday, it's a spiritual holiday as well. It is celebrated by two categories of people in two different ways. There's the way the world celebrates Christmas, and we know that a lot of people who do not know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, some don't even believe in God or in Jesus Christ, they still like for Christmas to come around because it is a very busy time for them. There's the exchanging of gifts, and we know that the business world enjoys the Christmas season, does it not? There are many businesses that would tell you this: were it not for the Christmas season, we could not keep our doors open. And I know that before I went into the ministry, I was was a manager of a men's clothing store, as I've probably told you before. And we were very dependent upon Christmas, because during the Christmas season, that 3 to 4 week period, we made approximately 40% of our budget for the entire year. Now, I enjoyed the Christmas season and in that store because it was a busy time. When people would come in and we would advertise things on the radio, our specials and all of this, and we'd say, come in and get them. And I enjoyed that because even though I was busy, even though I was very active and so forth, you didn't have to sell people. You didn't have to convince them to buy. They were always there. Sometimes they'd be standing at the door when I unlocked the door. They were just ready to go in and get the material and so forth. And I'll never forget one year, a lady came in. It was about 10:30 in the morning, and we had advertised some special on the radio, and she was very upset because I said, well, we sold the last one just a few moments ago. And she said, well, my goodness. She said, I was dependent upon that, and she was very upset. She said, you know another place that I can get it? So she was just very upset that we couldn't give that to her. Now, it was not always that easy to sell people and convince people to buy throughout the year, and I was not always that busy. Because normally throughout the year, if a guy came in, say, for a pair of pants, something like that, that's what they came in to buy, I would always say something like, don't you need a shirt and tie to go with that? Or we have some sports coats back here that would look nice with those pairs of pants. Or we just got in our new spring suits, and I think you'd look good at that and that. But during Christmas, you didn't have to convince them to buy. They were always very ready to buy indeed. But there's a lot of activities around Christmas, the way the world celebrates Christmas, that have nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Even the guy who rides in the sleigh and has the 8 reindeer, I think, pulling the sleigh and you know, visits on Christmas, that's not really biblical. The idea of giving certainly is, and so forth, but that's not a spiritual thing. That is more or less a worldly thing indeed. But we must keep our focus on what God has done for us. How much He loves us, how much He cares for us, how much He sacrificed in order that we might have our Savior and our Lord who came on Christmas Day. So Christmas is unique because it is celebrated by both the spiritual world and the secular world as well. Christmas is also unique because it is a fulfillment of a promise, and it is a prophecy that has been completed as well. Now, you know, God promised mankind many years before the coming of the Savior that Jesus Christ would come. Now, he instituted the sacrificial system. He instituted the fact that animals would be slain, their blood would be shed, and that would do for the covering of your faith, and that would do for the covering of your sins for temporarily. But he said, one of these days there's going to be a perfect sacrifice, there's going to be a complete sacrifice, and that is my son, Jesus Christ. And though the world went on for thousands of years before that promise was fulfilled, on Christmas Day, that complete promise of Jesus Christ was given to the world that we might have salvation and complete forgiveness of sin. And even though the world existed all those years, their faith was not in that sacrificial system. Their faith was in Jesus Christ, the one who was to come on Christmas Day indeed. So God's promised. When man sinned, he said there will be forgiveness. You can have forgiveness. There will be blood shed. It will be the blood of my son, Jesus Christ. Now let's remember this, that promises are made throughout the Bible. And that's exciting when we think about it, that God has promised to bless us. God has promised to love us. God has promised to never leave us or forsake us. He's promised to supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And everything that God promises, every single thing, he fulfills that promise. Isn't that exciting to know? Sometimes we get feeling sorry for ourselves, and why didn't this happen to me, and why didn't that go right, or why did that trouble come my way? But you know, God has promised to love us, and he never ever, unlike mankind who sometimes forgets about his promises to us or breaks promises, God never does indeed. So Christmas is special because, or it's unique because it's a promise that has been fulfilled to mankind. It is also a prophecy that has been completed. Now you know, a prophecy is simply this. A prophecy is a prediction that has been made long before it actually happens. And God made this prophecy. He said, one of these days, my son is going to come. He is going to fulfill the perfect sacrifice. And when you trust in him, salvation indeed will be yours. Prophecy, long before it actually happened. And prophecy is throughout the Bible. God spoke to Abraham, for instance. Now, at this time, Abraham was 75 years old. And he promised him, he said, walk before me and be you obedient, and I'll bless you. I'll bless you in many ways. I'll bless you spiritually. I'll bless you materially. And I'll bless you in this way especially, that you will be the father of an entire nation. He promised him that at 75. And Abraham continued to walk with God until he was 90, and he still had no son. And the Lord appeared again and said, I'm going to promise you that you will be the father of a great nation, and out of you will come my son, Jesus Christ, and out of you will come kings and prophets and all of this. Great promises and great prophecy right here that went on for a long time. But one day that prophecy was fulfilled, that Jesus Christ came indeed. Now you know, God gave people the gift of prophecy sometimes. He gave it to Isaiah, for instance, that I've just read. Now remember, Isaiah lived literally hundreds of years before Jesus Christ ever came to this world, but he prophesied. He said, one of these days Jesus Christ is going to come. He told how he would be born, that he would be born into poverty. He said he would come as a child, as a baby. He said that he would live, he would become a man and he would teach people. He said that he would die upon the cross. He said that he would arise on the third day, and that after the third day he would ascend into heaven, and then he would come back one of these days and he would establish a kingdom. Now Isaiah said this, he prophesied this long before any of this came to fruition. And some of the things that Isaiah prophesied about and he predicted through the power of God have not happened until yet, because we know that not yet has Jesus Christ come. Not yet has he come to rapture the church. Not yet has he come to establish a kingdom. But just as he prophesied he would come the first time, he'll come the second time as well in all these prophecies. Micah was a prophet that prophesied the coming of Jesus Christ. He prophesied about 700 years before the Lord was born, and he wrote it down, and he said that he would be born in a city called Bethlehem. And when the wise men, when the three kings of Orient, and sometimes they're called that, when they came to find Jesus Christ, they went to Herod the king and they said, "Where is he that has been born king of the Jews? Because we have seen his star in the east and we have come and to worship him and to serve him and present him with gifts." Herod didn't know what they were talking about, so he called his advisors and they said, "Well, the Old Testament says in the book of Micah that he'll be born in the city of Bethlehem," and of course, that is exactly where he was born. The first prophecy of Christ was actually some 4,000 years before it was fulfilled. It happened in the Garden of Eden, right after the fall of mankind, right after Adam and Eve disobeyed God and they sinned. God appeared to Satan and said, "Listen," said that, "Yes, you have bruised the heel of mankind." And the way the Bible puts it is like this in Genesis 3 and 15. "I will put enmity," he says, "between your seed and the seed of the woman. You will crush his heel," or "you will bruise his heel, and he will crush your head." Now, what that simply means is this. It says, because you have deceived mankind and mankind fell into sin, there'll be suffering, and you will cause people to suffer. And my son will come, and he will be the sacrifice. But because my son comes, he will bring victory over you. You will be defeated, and anybody that trusts in my son will be victorious. You will lose. You will be defeated, and my son, Christ, and his believers will emerge victoriously. A prophecy that is now being fulfilled. John the Baptist was a prophet. He said, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight." He preached that kind of gospel. He baptized in the River Jordan, and he was telling people to prepare for the coming of the Lord, make their path straight. He says this. He said, "I baptize you with water, but one is coming after me whose shoes I am not worthy to unlatch. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." He said it'll be very soon the Messiah will come. And one day he saw the Messiah literally coming. And he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the entire world." So when Christ was born, it was fulfilling that promise that God made previously. It was keeping that prophecy. It was fulfilling that God had said thousands of years before would happen indeed. And now at Christmas time, the first Christmas, this was fulfilled. That promise was kept. That prophecy was complete. Our second point is this. The Christmas season is special because it means simply this. It means that God Himself is with us. His name shall be called Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. Now, you know, this means three things. Basically, it means that Jesus was and is God. It means that he was also not only fully God, but he was fully human. And it means that Jesus Christ came here to dwell with mankind to show us exactly what God was like. Now, you know, that is an incredible thing. Now, God could have done something else to complete the plan of salvation had he wanted to, but he chose not to. He chose to do it in a very personal way. God could have spoken from heaven, and that would have been a miraculous thing. That would have been an act of love and compassion if God had simply just spoken one day from heaven. And sometimes God did do this. We know that at the baptism of Jesus, that God literally spoke and said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased. Hear you him." But if God had wanted to send a message to mankind and had just spoken from heaven that said, listen, you have sinned, but if you will turn to me, if you will believe in me, if you will trust in me, I'll forgive you. I will forgive all of your sins. You'll be righteous if you'll just have faith in me. If God had done that, if he had warned mankind in that way, that would have been a wonderful thing. But God did more. If Jesus Christ had just appeared in a different way than he did. Say, for instance, he had appeared just in the eastern skies like he's going to when he raptures the church, and he had just stood there in the eastern skies and he had warned the people. Said, listen, you've got to believe in me in order that your sins might be forgiven. You've got to trust in me because you're a sinner by choice. You're a sinner by nature. If you'll believe in me, everything will be well. That would have been an act of compassion and love. But God did far more. He didn't speak just from heaven. He didn't speak just briefly through Jesus Christ. But he literally sent Jesus Christ, and he became a human just like you and me, that we could see exactly what God was like, how he felt. John was very amazed. He said, we have beheld him, the only begotten of the Father. We have walked with him. We have talked with him. He is literally there with us. And isn't that a wonderful thing to know? That God identified, God loves us that much that he's willing to come down to this earth to take on human flesh, to know exactly how we feel. He became fully human. He took on human limitations. He was tempted at all points, just like you and I. He had the limitations of mankind. He was tempted. He felt bad at times. You know, do you have problems today? Do you think Jesus didn't have any problems? Have you ever felt like you were poor and everybody else had more than you? Jesus Christ was born in the utmost of poverty. Have you ever had people completely misunderstand you, call you a liar, call you a hypocrite, say that, you know, to say what you're doing is not right and say that you're ungodly and call you all these horrible and terrible things? That those things happened to Jesus. And why did they happen? Because he loves us, because he was here in human form to show us exactly, he identifies with us in every possible way, yet without sin. So he who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in him, that we might trust him and have forgiveness of everything that we do. You know, Jesus went further. Jesus was slapped. Jesus was spat upon. Jesus was ridiculed. Jesus died upon the cross. And ultimately, something that will never happen to Jesus, that will never happen to us, and it happened to the human part and the spiritual part as well, to the heavenly part as well, he prayed on the cross. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The only time in human history throughout eternity that God has ever turned his back literally on anybody, and that was on Jesus Christ, his own son. That we might have fellowship with him, that we might know him in the truest form of salvation, that we might walk with him indeed. John says, he became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld him, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Now, you know, that statement may not impress us as much as it should, but I guarantee you this. If some of the people who lived in the days of the Old Testament had seen Jesus Christ literally, they would have been very amazed by this. For instance, Moses. We know that Moses was a very righteous person, and God used him in a great way. And while he was, and God appeared to him in the form of a burning bush, and spoke to him out of that burning bush and told him what his ministry would be and what responsibility he would have to go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. We know that once all the plagues came and all of this, and he was leading the children of Israel, and he went up to Mount Sinai and got the Ten Commandments from God. He expressed this desire one day. He said, God, I want to know you in the fullness. I want to be very close to you, even closer than I've ever been before. I want to know you personally, and that's a good desire. God was pleased with that. But did he allow Moses to see him face to face and actually talk with him the way you and I talk? No, he didn't. He said, I'll do this. I'll permit this. I'll hide you behind this rock, and I'll just pass by, and you'll just get a glimpse of my glory. And once that happened, and once he saw just the glimpse of God's glory, when he went down from Mount Sinai, his face was such radiance that they could not look upon his face. They had to put a veil over his face. Abraham desired to know God in a very personal way. But did God speak to him face to face like he did through Jesus Christ? No, he did not. So he identifies with us in every possible way that he appeared in this world. He took upon human flesh that we might realize that he is God, how much he loves us, and how much he desires to save us indeed. Now, you know, again, God has blessed us in a very special way, and we ought to realize what the presence of Jesus Christ really means. It means God's love. God is a God of love. God is a God of compassion. Some people view God in a way that says God is a God of anger. God is very displeased with us. But God literally bends over backwards. He paid the ultimate price in sending his Son that we might be forgiven of every sin, that we might have every chance to know him as personal Savior, that we might have every chance to live with him throughout eternity indeed. I would say that Christmas time is not only special because it's God identifying with us. Christmas time presents to us a realistic view of the world and the solution to the problems that we face today. Now, you know, when I say a realistic look at the world, it's not this optimistic look, an idea that some people have, that says something like this. Well, things are really bad, and they are. But, you know, if we'll just all work together and all pull together, everything will be okay. Now, as important as that is and as beneficial as that would be, that's not going to solve the worst problems of the world. I don't care if we signed a peace treaty with every country of the world, Russia and everybody, Cuba and everybody else. I don't care if we said that, you know, we're going to love each other. If we simply said that, it would not happen because it would do nothing for the real root of the problem of the world, and that is sin, that is pride, that is selfishness. But Christmas identifies the true problems of this world, that things are bad, and they're going to get even worse. Things are dark, but there's hope, there's light, there's strength, their salvation in Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. He gives us light, he gives us strength, he gives us salvation indeed. I read an article the other day about a man that occupied a unique position. He was Prime Minister of Czechoslovakia for several years. And he said in this unique position, he looked at the governments of the world in two different ways. He said he had seen both. He had seen the communistic view and the capitalistic view. He had seen socialism, and he had seen capitalism and democracy, and he had seen all these things. And he said he reached this conclusion. He said, neither one has the real answer. And boy, isn't that a mouthful? Isn't that a mouthful? The governments of the world are not going to solve our greatest problems. And as, you know, as involved in politics and all of this as we ought to be, and you're doing our citizens' responsibility, certainly still, that is not going to solve the problems of the world. And he said this, he said, no, he said, communism is not going to solve it, democracy is not going to solve it. But he goes on to say this, now remember, this was a communist speaking, a former communist at least, he's saying this. He concluded by saying, a turning to and a seeking of God is what is really needed. Only this will bring change. And that is so very true indeed. He said, the human race is constantly forgets that we are not God, but there's only one supreme being who loves us and can help us, and that was made manifest in Christ Jesus. So the real meaning, the real message of Christmas is this. Things are bad, I'm sorry to say, and they're going to get worse, but there's hope, there's strength in Christ Jesus alone. He came to bring us enlightenment. He came to bring us wisdom. He came to make us aware of who we really are and what human beings do indeed. The Bible says this, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Our scripture for today. John said, the true light that giveth light to everyone has come into the world. Meaning God has come to give us wisdom. God has come to give us strength. God has come to make us aware of what we really are. And you know, one of the worst problems that a person can have, and we all have that sometime, is to not know our true situation. Not to see ourselves as we really are. Have you ever known a person that says, you think, well, boy, they really got a temper. And you talk to them, I don't have a temper. I don't have a problem with that. Oh, you don't? Oh, well, what about what you said, yesterday and day before and all of that? Or another person gossips. And maybe you're aware of that, but they're not aware of it. Sometimes we're not aware of our greatest problem. And mankind, we hide behind every excuse and all of that. And I'm talking about every one of us to a certain degree. God came to bring us enlightenment. He came to show how truly sinful we can be. And we need the only hope, the only strength that we have is to find forgiveness of Him, through Him. 1 Peter says this, the light of the world has descended into darkness in order to bring us into God's beautiful light. So He came to make us aware of our true condition, that we need Him and only He can help us indeed. Now you know, another thing that God wants to make us aware of is this. That the richest life, the greatest life, and the most fulfilled life is in serving God. Now, we know the benefits that of heaven, and we know that one of these days we're going to go there and we're going to live with Him for all eternity, and that's God's greatest blessing. But sometimes we have a tendency to forget that even on this side of eternity, it is far better to serve God. It is far better to be faithful to Him. It's far better to be a Christian. You're going to get much more joy. You're going to get much more happiness. You're going to get much more fulfillment out of serving God right now than you will serving the world. The pleasures of this world are only for a season. You look at people who have believed the Satan's lies that says if you'll just have a few drinks and so forth, it'll make you feel better temporarily and everything will be okay. When I served in the Air Force, I had roommate after roommate that they lived for the weekend. And when the weekend came, that was their party time, get drunk time and so forth. I don't know where they are today, but you know, I tried to warn them in those days, there's nothing to it. You know, you come in. And one guy especially, the roommate I had for a long time, he looked forward to going out and getting drunk, and then he would come in and have a headache the next morning, and I would just kind of snicker at him and so forth, and I'd say, yes, yes, you had a good time, but boy, you're paying for it now. So very true. What about people who've got hooked on drugs? The way of God, serving Jesus Christ, brings the greatest joy, the long-lasting joy, fulfillment. Your marriage will be better. You'll raise your children better. Everything will be better for you in life. You will be happier much longer if you serve God than serving the world. And then after that, we have an eternity to look forward to. God wants to make people aware of that, because, you know, so many people have been duped by Satan and says, just serve me and everything is going to be okay. To Eve, he said, you know, just, it won't hurt you. It'll make you wise. Oh, no. Real wisdom comes only from God. Point number three, Christ is the good news of God's love and salvation. You know, God loves us. And that's wonderful news. And, you know, we like getting good news. We like getting positive news and so forth. But the best news that's ever been given is the news that Jesus Christ is born, and through him that we can have salvation indeed. The angel said this, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Good news. Saying victory is possible if you'll just trust in the Lord. And you know, that ought to be the headline today. By the way, there's a commercial on TV that's by, I think he's a car dealer. But his commercial is this. Jesus came on Christmas Day to bring salvation. Now, he says this. I heard it just last night. I thought, well, praise God. You know, here's a man who understands Christmas. And he says he came to bring you the greatest joy that you can express and you can ever have in life. And I just thought, well, I need to buy your product, whatever it is. I need to know. I need to go buy it right away, because you deserve my respect. But, you know, the good news is God has come in the person of Jesus Christ, and victory is ours. I wasn't alive at the time, but when World War II was over, I tell you what, there was excitement. You look at the old newsreels, you read the incidents in history. There was dancing in the streets, and there was praising. The headline said, Japan surrenders, or Hitler is dead. Some of them say that, and rejoicing and all of that. But a greater rejoicing is this. Jesus has come, and we're the victors over sin, over the world. He brings us joy. He brings us strength indeed. Finally, in conclusion, at Christmas time, there are things that we need to do, and there are things that we should not do as well. And the category of things that we should not do is, I think Ken alluded to this, but I'll say it again. He alluded to it last week. At Christmas time, don't overspend. Stay within your means. And there's a temptation to do that, is there not? First year I got out of the Air Force, had a job that was making about $150 a week. That doesn't sound like much now, but boy, it was a lot then. Went to work for General Motors for a while. Boy, I thought I was rolling in the dough. And the first Christmas, boy, I bought a lot of gifts. And as a matter of fact, I overextended myself, went into debt, and it was several months paying it off. I thought I was doing something good, but I was not. Stay within your limit. Don't charge all of Christmas. You can make the gifts that we remember the longest are not those that cost the most that we get from people that come genuinely from the heart. Had a friend who had his first child. This was years ago. But his little boy got it to be about 3 years old. And there was a gift that was an electronic gift, and that certainly wouldn't do the things that electronic toys do today. But this was a gift that was very popular and was very expensive. And his little boy was just 3 years old, but he just had to have that for his little boy. So he said he got all of his money together and so forth, and he saved for a long time. He bought that for his little boy and put it under the Christmas tree, and he said he thought his little boy would be overjoyed, and he did like the gift. The little boy was very impressed with the gift because it would do certain things, lights and all of this would move. But he said, you know, the thing that impressed him most about that gift was the box that it came in. He said he played with that box for months and months and months after that toy was already gone. He said he could have gone down to the trash can and got a box. But he spent that money. Express your love to people, but don't don't overextend yourself. Stay within your means. That's just as good of advice and practical advice as I can give you. Don't be envious of other people at Christmas time. We can look around and see people that have more than us, you know, more material things than us and so forth, but don't ever put all of your thoughts and all of your ambitions on material things, because they only last very temporarily and so forth. Remember, the greatest gift of all is the gift of Jesus Christ. There are things that we must do this Christmas season that are very positive things. First of all, remember the reason for the season. It's not the lights, it's not the decorations, it's not the gift. The reason for the season is Jesus Christ. Let's worship Him as Savior and Lord. Let's remember that the greatest sacrifice of all was God sent His Son to this world to die for us, to live for us. We must remember, too, that there are people who are suffering around us during this Christmas time. They really are. There are people who are sick, not well physically. There are people who are suffering. There are people that get depressed because they... And many people go through depression during the Christmas season. When they see other people happy, they wonder why they're not happy. And even suicides and all of this, and admissions to clinics go up during the Christmas season. That's the kind of the thoughts that a lot of people are having. I saw an article on TV the other day, or something on TV that said this, and it's very close to us. It said, in the Dallas area, this Christmas season, there's approximately 10,000 people that are homeless. Now you think about that. In the Dallas area, 10,000 people are homeless, and over a third of them are children. Now I'm sure I didn't get much when I was a child, but I guarantee you I got something. Look around. There are people who are suffering. There are people who are in need. We have a lot. We have a lot. Let's share with others as much as we possibly can. Let's be as generous as we possibly can. Thirdly, I would say to remember to tell others about the Lord. And you can do that in various ways. You don't have to beat them over the head with a Bible or anything like this. Just say that this Christmas, I'm appreciative of the fact that God loves me, that He sent His Son, and He provided me with salvation, and He can do the very same for you. I would say, show God's love to a lost and dying world. That is our responsibility. Christmas is a wonderful time. Let's make sure that we remember that Jesus is our Savior. He is our Lord. He's our helper. Let's worship and serve Him in a way that He will be pleased with our life. And we will have a blessed season of the year. Let's bow our heads. As you bow your head today, I would like for you to pray and ask God to examine your own heart. The Christ who came on Christmas, is He your Savior? Is He your Lord? Are you doing everything that you possibly can for Him? Are you living a life of righteousness, of faithfulness? Are you committed to Him? Are there areas in your life that maybe don't please God so much? Christmas is a wonderful time for getting our relationship exactly right with God. I'm not saying that you've done anything terrible, but if you've let down in any area of your prayer life, of your service to God, of your commitment to the church or anything else, we need to ask God to forgive us, and that we'd be the very best people that we can be. How about the area of your witness and mine? Am I expressing to the world that God loves them? You know, the greatest message that can be given is when we share our faith with other people. And we have a responsibility. It's not just upon missionaries or preachers, it's upon you and me. Are we telling the world about Christ? What are you doing? Anybody who'd like to raise your hand and say, just pray for me that I'll be everything that God wants me to be. May God bless you. May God bless you indeed. May God bless you. Our Heavenly Father, we love You today. We thank you for your greatest blessing of all, Jesus Christ. We pray that every single person here today, God, would be aware of your greatest gift of all, that we would make you, God, our Savior, our Lord, and that we would let our light shine to a lost and dying world so that others might know the blessing of your salvation. Guide and direct us in all that we do. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Brother Ken.